broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
Now we're going to talk a little politics tonight. Ted Bell is going to join us from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted.
Steakhouse, come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Playoff time has started in the National Football League. There is no more comfortable place to watch the playoff game than the prime rib room at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's.
And don't forget Sunday, the all-day roasted prime rib. All day.
Ted Bell with us here. This segment brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. It is a terrific steakhouse, and we're glad to have you with us, Ted. A lot of exciting news. It's going to be, you know, in the offing.
We don't want to let the cat out of the bag, Phil, but we do have some exciting news, and I'll leave that to you and others to roll out. But I'm very excited about it.
And welcome to the program too. We haven't talked to you in a while, but so much is happening in the news that I know you'd like to discuss. A lot of it having to do with business and politics, and your very good friend Mitt Romney. You know, and the thing I wanted to ask you, Ted, before we start, you have been in business there in Beverly Hills, California, which is a liberal part of L.A. Would you call it that?
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people would assume that it is, but you'd be surprised, Phil. Beverly Hills is not necessarily Hollywood. You know, Hollywood is Hollywood. Beverly Hills is just it's an upscale part of the, it's its own municipality, as you know.
No, I know that. It's on the west side there.
Yeah, it's near West Los Angeles, and it has a lot of long-standing citizens, people that have been there for a long time. A lot of L.A.'s oldest families, in many instances, live there. So I think you'd be surprised at the number of conservatives that are very much a part of the community in Beverly Hills. But yes, there is, to answer your question more succinctly, we do have a large liberal contingent, and it's something to. I have customers. My customers, I don't care what they believe. You know, I have my political views. But, when you come to Ted's.
Obviously you're not screening people for what are you going to have for a steak based upon their politics.
No, you can't run a successful restaurant that way. But you can certainly have friendly conversations. I've had them for the last 20-plus years with customers of mine. And so,
but when do you tell them that you are a Mitt Romney supporter?
Well, I wouldn't,
unless I'm speaking too soon.
Well, yeah, no, I know Governor Romney. I've spoken with him on many occasions. I think he's a terribly intelligent man. I think he's a good man. I don't think there's anything nefarious about him. I think that he's got views in terms of business that a lot of people don't like. But he is a capitalist. And his capitalism is American capitalism. I don't know what people expect. All of a sudden, when Mitt Romney explained to people what capitalism is all about, you got a lot of guys like Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum and John Huntsman, maybe, or I don't know who, but you got all of a sudden these people got shocked and scared. And I don't know where Newt Gingrich has been, but... I have to be honest with you. I really don't know what they're talking about. All of a sudden, Newt Gingrich turned on Mitt Romney when Mitt Romney was explaining what capitalism was all about to a guy like Newt Gingrich, who, spends most of his time reading books. He's a little bit of an egghead.
All right, well, Mitt Romney worked for Bain Capital, and it's one of these equity in firms that goes in and they purchase a company and they quote unquote get it back on its feet or make it profitable.
Look, let's talk straight. I'm not afraid of talking straight. I don't know what Newt Gingrich's problem is. Maybe it scares him. Maybe he never did quite know what capitalism was. I don't know what the Tea Party people think. Maybe they're afraid of what capitalism is. They go in, they take a look. And if it needs to be thrown into a garbage can, they throw it into a garbage can. The stockholders expect nothing less. So
when you say it needs to be thrown, what are you talking about?
Well, when Romney was running that company, they would acquire a company with their capital, and they would assess that company and assess what do they need to do to make it profitable so they can sell it and get some money back. Right? And that
not to make it profitable so it can work.
No, not to make it profitable so it hey, those are things that guys like Newt Gingrich want you to say, which Newt Gingrich, either he knows that's not true or he actually doesn't know how these things work. Rick Santorum, I don't know how bright he is. He doesn't look too bright to me. I've listened to him talk. He seems like kind of a dull, excuse me for saying this, but he seems like a little bit of a dull clod.
So in other words,
Mitt Gingrich. How about that? How about that for a hybrid?
Okay, so Mitt Romney, these companies go in, they look at the companies losing money, and they try to give it a profitable balance sheet, as it were, in order to sell it?
Exactly. They're not going to hang around and make it profitable. Yes, they do in some instances. But the bottom line on all of this is for the people who own those companies, they want to get some money back at the end of the day. The shareholders want to get some money back at the end of the day, even if that means taking that entire company and throwing it into a garbage can. Worse things have happened in this world. Companies come and companies go. Businesses start, businesses don't. What Mitt Romney was doing is just explaining how life works, and Newt Gingrich is running around. I made a comment. It was unfortunate. I said he was sounding the way he looks. I said he was squealing. I didn't mean to say that.
That appeared in one of the local wire services. You were referencing, you saying that Newt Gingrich looks like a pig.
No, I did not say it. What I said was he's making noises like what he looks like. Okay.
Why? Isn't that calling him a pig?
I don't think so. But what can I just...
All right.
What I'm saying is this. Newt Gingrich, when he heard about what Mitt Romney does, all of a sudden Newt Gingrich goes from being a capitalist to, I don't know what he is.
I think here's the thing, and if I may.
Go ahead.
The brutality of capitalism, and when I say brutality, let me rephrase, the stark, hard edge of capitalism, as hard as it is, and frankly, as coarse and unimaginative as it can be, is encapsulated in these companies like this Bain Equity that Romney was running. Because all they do is they go into these companies, sell them off, a la Gordon Gekko in the movie Wall Street, sell off the parts, fire a whole bunch of people, get rid of all the unions, strip it all the way down so that it shows all of a sudden a profit on the balance sheet. And then either, you know, try to sell what's left of it or turn it around and go ahead and, you know, make a go of it.
Well, but by that point, you're not going to turn it around and make a go of it. If you strip it all the way down, if you sell it off all of the assets, you're selling off all of the machinery, you're selling off the real estate, you got rid of the union, and you've done all of these things to show, finally, on the bottom line, now here, look, now we've got a profit. Well, your job is done. Now, if the company doesn't exist anymore, that's just the breaks. The stockholders, Phil, the stockholders.
But isn't it true then to say that the stockholders are as insensitive and uncaring as any of these other capitalists?
Well, I don't know what you mean by that. See, again, and
when I say insensitive, uncaring, a stockholder is going to say, a stockholder is going to say, I don't care what you do, I want that stock price up. That means people get fired.
I don't understand. I don't relate to what you're saying, you know, insensitive. What do you think a company exists for? The stockholders must make money. They must make money. If you don't make money for the stockholders, you are not doing your job. If you're not doing your job, you get thrown into the street and they bring someone else in. Mitt Romney at some point came through that revolving door. There might have been people before him. There could have been people coming in after him. But when he came in there and he heard the stockholders say, we need a return on our investment, he said, okay, and he did what he had to do. Is that firing a lot of people? Sometimes it is. Is it throwing everything into a garbage can and telling the refuse company, come and get it because it isn't worth the spit that it took to stick it together? Yes. Is it a wreckable company? Yes. Do you have to stand in front of the stockholders and say to them, ladies and gentlemen, just again, Gordon Gekko in Wall Street, ladies and gentlemen, Your company is, I can't save it. I can't save it. It's spending this, it's spending that, it's doing all these things. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to throw it out into a dump. And I can make more money for your stockholders if I take your company today and throw it into a city landfill that is crawling with disease.
Wow.
That's the cold, hard reality. Now, that's what Mitt Romney, that's called capitalism. And what shocked me, and I'm sorry I made the comment about Newt Gingrich looking like a pig, I apologize. But what shocked me is when Newt Gingrich stands there, like he's a, you know, I saw a picture of one of these farm, I don't know what you want to call it, it was a farm animal with one eye. I don't know, if you've ever seen these freaky-looking animals?
Yeah.
Newt Gingrich reminds me of someone that comes off one of these farms. They're way, way off the highway. They're way back. And
all right, so Newt, boy, you're really, you know, Newt Gingrich reminds you of some inbred.
Well, he acts and talks like he just landed here from another planet. What do you think capitalism is?
But again, this is the aspect of capitalism that people don't understand, they don't know about. I need profitability. Okay, fire all these people.
Well, I think people do understand it, and that's why they're going to go to the polls in by the millions and vote for Mitt Romney, because that guy gets it. That guy gets it. You want to make it work? You go in and you throw people in the street. And I hate to sound unsentimental, Phil. God knows, I've been in business for almost 30 years myself. But there's only one way of making a business work. And sometimes that means you go in and, yes, you look at a woman standing there. This is going to be her last paycheck. She's got mouths to feed. And you say to her, I'm sorry. Now, you got to get out. Get out of here. I mean, I can't. And
boy, that you're making it sound even worse than it is.
No, I'm not.
Well, get out of here.
Well, you don't want to leave the illusion that they somehow can work their way back. You know, it's over. Get out.
A woman whose last paycheck.
Well, I'm telling you that this is. Now, again, you're starting to sound like Newt Gingrich.
And well, God forbid I should sound like somebody who's from a holler. You know,
well, I don't mean that, but you're evidencing a lack of understanding of what capitalism is. And
all right, no, I understand all of these things. I just wanted to hear you as to why it is you support Mitt Romney based upon what I think has been fair criticism of him. However, it's also true that is the, that's the road, as somebody said. That's the road map. That's how it works. And I just wonder, does it have to work that way?
Does what have to work that way?
Does capitalism?
Are you kidding? Well, how else does it work?
How about you take that money instead of firing people? You take that money that you may be able to save instead of firing as many people and reinvest it and turn the company around.
Because that's a crapshoot that the stockholders don't want to go through. Don't you understand? What are you going to go to the stockholders and say, ladies and gentlemen, I got a better idea. Instead of giving you your money back or getting the stock price up, let's roll the dice and try to make the company work. Do you know what they're going to say? You're going to have all these little old ladies, all these pensioners, all these stockholders, and Phil, I forgive me, they will hang you upside down and flay you alive. Alive. And I got to tell you, I don't think that's looking at it realistically.
All right, let's take a break here. Ted Bell is with us as he talks about Mitt Romney, some of the heat that he's taken for being a part of that Bain Capital Group, which is a group that goes in and takes a look at a company, and they do what they have to do to make that company profitable or at least return some kind of a profit to shareholders and investors. And that could very well mean wrecking the company, firing all the people, getting rid of everybody. That's the hard edge of capitalism that Ted agrees with, and I'm not so sure. 877-876-PHIL, as we talk about Mitt Romney and the naivete of Newt Gingrich on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
every single solitary day in Tent of Beverly Hills, we're cooking up that Kansas City T-bone. Why do I talk about the Kansas City T-bone so much? I can't tell you. You gotta have some. Huh? You gotta have one. Get the Kansas City T-bone for two and die happy, I'm telling you. Have you had it?
No, I have not. I've had the Porterhouse. It's fantastic.
Well, the Porterhouse, Phil, is our signature meat. And, you know, everybody loves our Porterhouse for two, but this Kansas City, I got to tell you, come on in this weekend.
I will, absolutely.
And you're going to love it.
All right, Ted Bell is with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills as we talk about Mitt Romney being a part of this investment group. And that means these capital investment groups that are involved in every kind of business, Ted, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they're involved in your business. They're buying radio stations left and right. They're buying companies. A lot of them have a position. I'll give you an example. A lot of them have a position. One of them has a position with this Cumulus Radio, which I know owns a lot of the former ABC radio stations. Well, the group that is a part of the Cumulus move, these guys were cited by the SEC. See it.
For what?
I don't know, but they had some kind of a beef with the SEC had some kind of a beef with them. So a lot of these groups can be shady. They can be involved in real weird deals. But at the end of the day, what they're about is going back to the company that hired them and saying, your company is now showing a profit, and you don't care if we have to throw people in the street, right? They said, of course not. Capitalism is not, Phil, capitalism is not about caring whether someone's got a job. Well, I said that wrong.
Well, no, you said that right, and I suspect that's what a lot of people think.
No, that's not what it's about. Capitalism cares if you have a job, but you've got to show your worth. You have to pull your weight. If you don't pull your weight, Mitt Romney, as reluctant as he may be, and myself and others, are going to have to send you out onto the street and away from wherever we are because we want to make money. We don't want, you know, we don't want people messing that up.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. I don't think I've given the phone number out once, have I? Yes, I have. Okay, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills about the Mitt Romney campaign, about his presidential push, about his work with this Bain Capital, an equity firm that has had its history of going in and turning companies around, quote unquote. That involves firing people. I think a lot of people don't quite understand, and I say this with the greatest respect. I don't think a lot of people understand the uglier side of capitalism. Is all I'm saying. Here is it Trent? You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Trent, go ahead.
Hey, it's Trey, and I want to say
yes,
first
sir.
And foremost, I want to say first and foremost, I am a Ron Paul supporter, but capitalism is pretty much what he says capitalism is. I mean, if a company's not
turning a
profit, they do whatever it takes to make a profit, and if that involves firing people, that's what they have to do. I mean,
the point that I'm making involves taking the company apart, and you say you're a Ron Paul supporter, is that right, Trey?
Yes.
All right. Now that surprises me because you show an understanding of capitalism that Ron Paul may never have. I don't know if the day will ever come that he's going to quite get it that way.
I'm not saying that it's 100% right the way capitalism is, but that is how our capitalist system runs.
What do you mean you're not saying it's 100% right? I don't understand.
Well, you know, companies have to answer generally to like Wall Street or investors, and if they're not turning a profit, you know, the investors,
right,
Wall Street, whatever, are going to get upset. So the company is going to have to do whatever it takes to make their investors, Wall Street, happy. And if
let's talk about who the investors are. Let's not talk about Wall. You know who they are? They're stockholders.
Rich people. I mean, they're,
and you know who the stockholders are? The stockholders could be your grandmother, my grandmother. That's how ugly it is. Because those are the people, not some nameless suit, but some little old lady that may make you soup on the weekend. She's the one throwing people into the sewer.
Well, I mean,
No, that's exactly what's happening.
I mean,
my grandmother.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's true, but that is just the way our system works. I'm not saying it isn't a corrupt system. But that's not corrupt.
What's corrupt about that? That's pure. It frightens me to think that our grandmothers are the ones that are destroying the lives of people.
Well, wait a sec. We got to talk about that. I'll be right back. I appreciate you calling, Trent, very much. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What do you think you got to explain that?
I just do.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, my ass.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted of Beverly Hills.
Hold on.
Steakhouse.
Well,
come
no.
on down.
Hi, everybody. This is Ted Bell, and this segment of the Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Tens of Beverly Hills, and I think we need to tell people what we mean by Wall Street. I think there's a misunderstanding up there.
Well, all right. Welcome back here, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Ted Bell is with us, and Ted is at Tens of Beverly Hills. excuse me.
I know you had a cold. How's that cold?
It's getting better. Much, much better. I'm glad I took that flu shot, man. You know?
Yeah, you think that works?
Oh, absolutely. I know it works. Because if I hadn't had a flu shot, this cold came and went in like 3 days.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Wait a minute. Now that I'm talking about it, now I got to... Hold on.
Well, look, let me kick it off.
But I got to set it up for the audience first. We're talking with Ted Bell. We're talking about Mitt Romney. We're talking about capitalism. We're talking about the, frankly, the sort of the hypocrisy of a lot of people who say that Mitt Romney is a a vulture. But when you believe in capitalism, you believe in capitalism. All right, I understand that. But whatever happened to the corner bank and the local gas station, and what I mean by that, Ted, is this. When they dealt with you, they dealt with you as a neighbor, and they dealt with you without having necessarily profit in mind. They dealt with you wanting to make sure that your business would be back.
Phil, here's what I wanted to say. I think that we've got a problem in the country. We think that Wall Street is this big, nameless, faceless, almost this blockhead, bald, wearing a dark blue suit with a bright red tie and gold on his fingers, because we see Wall Street as male, and quite frankly, it's also female. I got to laugh when I... Yeah, women are on Wall Street, too. You know that, right?
Of course.
Well, you say of course, but every time we talk about Wall Street, we talk about the suits. Some of those suits are pantsuits. And some of those people on Wall Street are doing the bidding, but let's get down to who they really are. Wall Street really isn't that guy in the suit. Wall Street is, as I just said to the young man, Trey, that I was talking to, Wall Street, Phil, is your grandmother, my grandmother, Trent's grandmother. Wall Street is some guy in, forgive me for saying this, it's a disabled man who can't work, but he's invested and he's making money on his earnings. It may be a trust fund set up for some children. That's Wall Street. And when the representatives of those children, or that man in the wheelchair, or that grandmother... Those people just do the bidding, and they go to Wall Street, and they invest the money. Now, when the stockholders' meeting takes place, and all of those people who have their money with this company or that company, they show up. And they say, I'm going to retire. Where's my money? I need money for these children. Where is it? I got to live. I'm disabled. Where is it? And you say to them, in order for us to get you your money, we're going to have to fire 30,000 people. What do you suppose that little old lady, that grandmother, that woman that would make you a nice piece of cherry pie and pour you a cup of coffee, what do you think she says? Let them rot. Now,
well, but you're putting it in a rather harsh light, aren't you?
No, I'm not putting it in a harsh light. That's exactly what Wall Street is. I'm not
can't find fault with it. That's what it is. That's what Mitt Romney, that's who he's working for. See, boy, you ought to have me on your show more often, because I have a feeling, Phil, you've got a lot of listeners out there, and I know you do a good job, Phil, but you've got a lot of listeners out there, they just don't get it. They're sitting out there, and they're thinking that Wall Street is, and Ron Paul this, and Newt Gingrich that. Let me give you the cold, hard reality. Wall Street is everyone's mother and grandmother, and that mother and that grandmother are looking into the eyes of a hungry child, and they're saying, as far as I'm concerned, you can starve, and we'll go ahead and stick you on a spit when you go.
And oh, come on, Ted. You know...
Wait, what do you mean, oh, come on, Ted?
Well, you're making it sound as if all of a sudden the very people that we know as the hand of comfort...
Those are the people that have the retirement funds. Those are the people that are going to the stockholders' meetings.
A grandmother looks at a little kid and says, you can cook. You can. I'll stick you on a spit and eat you.
Yes. And that's what Mitt Romney is saying. Now, is it nice? Do I wish life was different? Phil, to quote the man in the great movie, A Man for All Seasons, which, of course, starred a very dear friend of mine who has passed on, Bill. You know what? I forgot his name now.
A dear friend of yours.
Yes, he was. Schofield. Paul Schofield. And in the film, the actor says, "I wish rain were beer. I wish beer. I wish it. I wish it beard." Mm.
I wish rain were beer.
No, he doesn't. He said, "I wish rainwater were beer."
Okay.
Yeah. And in a perfect world, I don't even know what. In a perfect world,
things would be different.
Right. In a perfect world, things would be different. Now, out there in Radio Land tonight, you've got sitting out there a lot of people who think they got it figured out. And I'm sure they do in many ways. They're going to vote for this guy, they're going to vote for that guy. They want this and they want that. But when you tell them the reality of capitalism, suddenly they're not such big fans of capitalism. You see? And all of these people that say they don't like socialism or communism, suddenly they start thinking, maybe a little socialism is what we need. And
how does socialism correct this?
Well, it puts into place government controls so that a little old lady can't hide behind her knitting while she sends a man into a furnace to die. And
boy, you're really putting things in a...
I like to put things in a stark, yes, in a very stark way, Phil, and that's exactly what capitalism is. It's a little old lady doing her knitting in a stockholders meeting and deciding, getting up and putting her thumb down like they used to do in the Roman Forum, and deciding that a man, a father of, say, four, is going to go into a furnace alive. What are you laughing at?
You know, it sounds to me, man, like you're not even a Mitt Romney fan.
Why would you say that?
Because you're making his case. The way you're making his case, it sounds evil.
No. That's the way it is. I just want people to stop with this horse dung about how Wall Street this and Wall Street that. That is Wall Street. Wall Street is that little old lady doing her knitting. Wall Street is that veteran in the wheelchair. Wall Street is that trust fund for those kids. Wall Street is those kids. They're the ones making the decision that is going to take your father, your mother, those people that are working very hard in that company, and those people are saying, I know you work hard, but I have to have money for my retirement, and I'm disabled, and I'm also this, and I'm also that. So I'm sorry, but you're fired. Please clear off the premises, or we're going to have you arrested. That's as cold-hearted as it gets, and that's what that's about.
Ted Bell with us here from Ted's of Beverly Hills as we talk with him about Mitt Romney's campaign, what is capitalism? And I think when you say that capital, when you say that Wall Street is in point of fact little old ladies and trust funds and this kind of thing, it does definitely put a different face on it.
Well, I mean, that one guy who called in, he goes, well, Wall Street. When you say Wall Street, you get away with it because people automatically think Wall Street, a bunch of you-know-whats, a bunch of blankety-blank holes, a bunch of one word, one-syllable holes. You know, one word ends with S.
No, I know the word that you're going for.
Okay. And they think that that's Wall Street. No, it isn't. No. Wall Street, Phil, is a friend of yours, a friend of mine. It's our neighbors. And our neighbors are looking at us, and they're saying, I have to make money on my stock investment, so if it's either you or me, and guess what? It ain't going to be me. So, nice neighbor I am, see you later, and I hope when they begin to rake the landfill, there's something left of you.
All right. So it's just dog eat dog, huh?
Has it ever been any other way? Is there any other way?
Well, I'm hoping that maybe there is. And that's why we talk on this show, and I've said it, and I've said that there has to be another way of making a dollar that keeps a company afloat, that keeps a product, a quality product, that keeps people coming back for a quality product. All of these things are interconnected. The mentality you're talking about is why we don't have good quality in products. It's why we have no customer loyalty, and it's why business goes overseas. And
well, that's all. Whatever. You know, I don't know. You may be right, but the point is, you got to make the company profitable. And
all right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're going to come back with your phone calls now. We have Ted Bell on the line here as we talk about the Mitt Romney campaign. We're talking about capitalism. What is it? And it's pretty cold-hearted. In fact, Wall Street is nothing more than your mother, my mother, a bunch of people who have their retirement saying, sorry, but you're fired. 877-876-PHIL. Mitt Romney is the realist. Newt Gingrich is naive. The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Ted Bell in just a moment.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we are talking about the the Mitt Romney campaign and how it is that Mitt is explaining capitalism to Newt Gingrich.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, Ted here from Ted's of Beverly Hills. I got an analogy for you, Phil. You know that Hostess, the company that made Twinkies and Wonder Bread, has gone bankrupt. My thoughts.
Here at Ted's.
In one moment.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right, now that's interesting. So we're talking about capitalism, and Mitt Romney has got a grasp of it.
Well, Mitt Romney is trying to dance around and say, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Exactly, that's what he did do. Newt Gingrich, Ron Paul, these guys, they have nothing to say about this because this is beyond their realm of understanding, all right? They don't understand when it comes to what the hard edge of capitalism, as you called it, Phil, is. So that when the retirees want more money out of their stocks and you have to throw a man in the street who's a father of six, there's a little old lady out there that could care less. There's a little old man out there that could care less. Now, here's a case today. Hostess, they make the Twinkie and they make the Wonder Bread, and they have filed for bankruptcy. Now, that means that if you go into that company, and they should have brought in a Bain Capital before this, and you say, well, you're too heavy with your union.
My understanding is Hostess owes, what is it?
$944 million to the pension fund. $944 million. All right? That means they got to get rid of that union. They got to get rid of that pension fund. They've got to lean it up.
But let me ask you something.
Hold on. But I just want to tell you. So Hostess, if you go into Hostess and you take a look at their company, you say, I got to get rid of this union, these pensions, everything. We got to fire people. And I mean, we've got to fire a lot of people because I've got some old bag.
So that's what she is, an old bag, huh?
Stockholders meeting.
Some old bag. So the guy goes back and says, I got to fire a bunch of you because I got an old bag that wants more profit.
A lady at a stockholders meeting is what I've said. Who wants more profit, you have to start letting people go and restructure. And you get that company back on its feet.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Hostess sells Wonder Bread, Twinkies, and those stuffed cupcakes. Do you suppose people are not interested in that product?
No. Huh? What are you talking about?
Twinkies and Wonder Bread?
Twinkies and Wonder Bread, yeah. Are you trying to tell? Wow. I don't know where you've been, Phil, but those are some of the most... people love that kind of snack food. You put it into a child's lunch. It's very handy. If you've ever seen, you take a kid, any kid that you want, you take the kid, you stick a bag in his hand, and I don't know, I've made lunch for my son, you know, from time to time when he was in grade school, but you got a kid, and it's got to eat, so what you do is you get the kid there in the kitchen,
You stick a bag in the kid's hand. Make sure that what's in the bag, though, is you got a bologna sandwich. You stuff that Twinkie in. Now, this is something you can do in a pinch. And
the Twinkie, you understand that there are families now that are more conscious of nutrition.
Whoa. You asked me if... You asked me should they change their product.
Yes, what I'm telling you is, are people buying that stuff?
Since when are people not buying Twinkies? I must have missed something here.
I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking that the company has gone under. They're finding...
No, the company has not gone under. They have to restructure.
Okay, they got to restructure, but the company is having a hard time financially. They have, they've got all this debt. They filed Chapter 11. I'm wondering if the Hostess company maybe should not be selling Twinkies, Wonder Bread, and these kinds of products.
And I just got done telling you, and I'll tell you again, people love to eat Twinkies. The Hostess cupcake is something that has been a part of American life for decades. The Wonder Bread, I don't, honest to God, what, do you need me to explain this?
No, I understand how commercially they have been successful. I wonder if they still are.
Well, I think they are. And I don't think you have to get any heavier than that. I think they are. And I think that if you take, as I said, you have the Hostess, the Twinkie, the cupcake. These are two items that every school lunch has at one time or another had in the bag next to the, you know, what do you got, the Tupperware of lasagna? I don't know what you do. What do you make for the kids?
But the kids, look at man, it's been a long time since I made a school lunch. Okay.
Well, what I'm saying is I'll make the bologna sandwich or a Tupperware or something from the restaurant, and I'll throw in that Twinkie. Or you throw in the Hostess cupcake, or you get the Wonder Bread going. They love it.
And so all of that stuff is really nasty, and it's not nutritious.
Oh, really nasty, huh? So you're telling people how to eat.
Well, no, I'm just telling you. Okay, Ted, look, you and I are dancing around this, man. What is that?
Yeah, Margaret Grant wants to know you.
I'll get Margaret Gray on the line here.
No, for God's sake. What?
I'm going to get Margaret Gray on the line here, if you don't mind. She's got a son.
Well, so do I.
Well, she makes lunches. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let me get her back on the line here. And because you and I are at cross purposes here. You're saying that it's impossible for Hostess to be going out of business. I'm saying it sounds logical to me, given what the... Margaret, are you there?
Phil, I'm listening to the conversation right now that you're having with Ted. Ted, how are you? Well, you know something, Ted? You don't know what you're talking about. I would rather send my child to school with nothing to eat than put something like that into his bag.
Hold on. I want the record to be clear. You just said you would rather your child go to school with nothing to eat than to put what in the bag?
Well, you can make the record clear all you want.
Yeah, but what did you say?
I said I'd rather have my child go to school with nothing to eat than to stick one of those Twinkies or whatever. What was he talking about?
Well, there's the cupcake.
There's the Hostess cupcake, the Twinkie, I think there's a single Twinkie or double Twinkie packet.
I don't know, but I would never put that...
And the Wonder Bread, too.
What about the Wonder Bread?
What about the Wonder Bread? I don't... Why?
Do you make sandwiches for Jason?
I most certainly do, and we use the Ezekiel 7 grain sprouted. I don't use Wonder Bread. So I'm saying to you what Phil was saying to you. I would never, ever put that kind I don't even call it food. I call it food material. I wouldn't put that in any bag that had lunch written on the front of it, and under that lunch, and then under that 4JJD, which is what I...
What I don't understand.
JJD?
Jason J. Delmonico.
Oh, yeah. All right, so you're on the record as saying you'd rather your son starve.
No, I didn't say starve. I said I would... I did not say starve.
Well, how does your son eat lunch?
I'm saying, in a world, if there was no food...
I'm sure that she would find a way to feed her son, but the point is she would not feed him any of the stuff that you've just said. Margaret, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, I think that's a woman that doesn't love her child. If she says she's going to send a kid off to school without even giving the child something to eat, even if it is a Twinkie, I think that's some pretty rude behavior.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Stephen, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Ted Bell.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask Mr. Bell, if you have a stockholder meeting, and there's people who are... Take it easy.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'm just a little bit nervous.
You're doing fine, sir.
If you have a stockholder meeting, and... Hold on, I'm hearing a high-pitched whistle or weasel, not a weasel, but a wheezing. Yes, sir, that's me, I'm sorry.
Okay, take it. You want to get a drink of water?
Yeah, give me a drink of water, honey. Just a drink of water. No, I don't want that lemonade. No, I can't have it. No, I can't use it. I can't use that. Okay, let me say while the gentleman's getting a drink, Bill, I think that Hostess is going to do what Hostess is going to do, but I'm just saying that there's a way of turning that company around. I don't see people not wanting to eat the Twinkie. I don't see people turning away from the Twinkie. I don't see them turning away, and I guess we're... yes, sir. I just want to ask you...
All right, you need to maybe get a drink of water or something.
Who, me?
No, the caller. Hold on. World famous Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on the Mitt Romney campaign. We also have Jay Stannis from the Citizens Auxiliary Police coming up next hour on a very interesting story from Los Angeles. A L.A. County sheriff just belting this woman on a subway train, on one of the Metrorail trains. Coming up, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We do have in our news and information hour, we'll be coming on with some comments about a story today in the news concerning Marine snipers in, I think it was Afghanistan or Iraq, and I'm not sure when this took place. I think they're snipers. They were identified as such by somebody on TV. But in any event, we'll talk about the fact that they were photographed, or there was a video of them urinating on their these insurgents that they just shot, and the reaction of the military, reaction of the press, and so forth. 877-876-PHIL. Other big news from the city of Los Angeles we're going to talk about tonight with Jay Stannis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And we're going to be talking about a woman who is struck, and I mean this is a roundhouse right, struck by a Los Angeles County sheriff on a Metrorail train.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken,
Jay, you ready?
A duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the Rangers,
or the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Jay Stannis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police with us.
Thank you, Phil. And I want to very quickly, Phil, I'm not a member of the military. I'm not a member of the military. I've not been in the military, but I think what we do for the Citizens Auxiliary Police is similar to what our military does, and that is we are out here trying to protect and to help, you know, people be defended. And it can get, you know, I'll say it right now, it's going to get kind of hairy. And sometimes you get tense, and sometimes you know, do things.
And well, what you're a volunteer police agency. I mean, you're not really the police. You're not, you know, the police. What situations?
Well, that doesn't mean, Phil, we don't get into some hairy situations. And what do I mean by that? I mean, it doesn't mean that we don't get into situations where there's going to be, you know, some confrontational possibility. And I'm not really sure what you're referring to.
Well, what situation would you get into where these Marines were, you know, were photographed urinating on these bodies?
Well, I can tell you that I will say that we disciplined one of our subcommanders. We had been in front of someone's residence, and they had given us a hard time. It had to do with some videotapes that needed to be reported. Yeah, some videotapes that needed to be rewound and taken back to a video store. And one of the subcommanders and the individual in the house, you know, thought they were going to give us a hard time, you know, mouthed back and smarted off and smarted back and all this. And one of our subcommanders performed illicitly an act. You know, he relieved himself on the front lawn. And so we do.
Well, I mean, here you have the Marines and dead insurgents that were shooting at them. And in your case, this was someone who had not rewound you know, a videotape.
Well, we're not in the business, Phil, of judging and... Hold on for a minute. We're not in the business, Phil, of judging, you know, what is a tense situation. As a civilian, as a member of a civilian, you know, of the civilian people that you are, you don't know, and I don't know what those Marines are up against. I can just tell you that one of our sub-commanders, after a very tense, you know, confrontation with a homeowner who had not rewound these videotapes, was, you know, disciplined by us after he relieved himself on a lawn.
All right, let's talk, Jay, about this situation in Southern California. Now, this was a woman hit, and I'll read the story. A Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department is investigating one of its own after a deputy was caught on video striking a woman on a bus in Bellflower. A passenger shot cell phone video showing the deputy allowing the woman elbowing the woman on Monday night. This is him elbowing her. I saw the videotape, and this was a roundhouse right. You know,
I've not seen it. I'm not really sure.
Well, we can show it for those who are watching Phil TV in HD right now. We'll show the video, and it's very, very clear to me, at least, what's happening. Let me get it over here to our. And Jay, are you watching?
I've got it right now. Yeah. Hold on for just a sec. 15.
This is from their newscast, and it will show in a moment here. This confrontation with the Los Angeles County Sheriff and this lady, if you can see that, you'll see that they were on this train, and at some point she tries to walk past this officer, and you'll see what happens. To me, it looks like here she is.
I'm watching right now. She looks like she's talking to one officer, and she's going to try to go past this other officer. He's grabbing her by both arms. She's talking, bang. Yeah, he did hit her with a hand.
Yeah, he hit her with a right hand. It's the news says elbow.
Now, that was a definite shot, and I can only imagine what that woman said to the officer. Because, again, you have to understand something, Phil. People in a lot of ways are going to say things that the average civilian don't know, and they don't know about, you know.
Well, what do you mean, say things? I mean, the woman... Here it is. We're right here waiting for a bus, and she's trying to pick a fight. It says that she was trying to pick a fight.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now, the police officer probably hit her not because she had overtly said anything like, you know, F you or some kind of a deal like this. But one of the things that we encounter, Phil, citizens auxiliary police or police officers that are in the field, is there is a high level of disrespect for peace officers, law enforcement officers. We're out there trying to control and, you know, regulate all the things that are going on. And when people are disrespectful, and we're not talking about...
Well, what do you mean disrespectful? I mean, look, you guys are not the principal. You're not the teacher.
No, absolutely right. Absolutely right. But you are required to give us a level of respect given the uniform that we wear. And by that, it's simply something as, you know, calling us sir as opposed to hey you or mister. You don't talk with disrespect to a police officer when he's asking you questions. You answer crisply and quickly. You make sure that when you are talking to a police officer that you're looking him in the eye. You're not averting his face. You try not to just little things, Phil. They don't seem big, but you know, chewing gum. These kinds of, if you're chewing gum when you're talking to a police officer, it's going to potentially be seen as a situation. The other thing is...
Well, are you saying that those are laws?
What those are indicators. If I'm talking to an individual and she's chewing gum, like we had a kid here last week, she's chewing gum and not meeting my gaze, that right away I said, okay, you know, all bets are off. I folded up my citation book and we went ahead and called her parents and told her in parents that, you know, she was walking around and everything. And so...
What was she doing?
She was walking by herself in the mall.
And what was it, after curfew?
Well, that's got nothing to do with it. I mean, she's a kid walking around. We didn't know if she was soliciting or what. So...
She's a kid that... Okay. All right. So we see this lady on the train, and she gets slugged by the officer.
That's right.
And so she must have said something overt?
Well, it can be overt. It can be something as simple, like I said, as simple as the officer was walking by and she said, listen, I'm trying to get your name, and you're chewing gum, and you're not, you know, you didn't call me ma'am. Would you stop and shut up and give me your name? Or if there are these threats. Now, a lot of people don't say pig anymore. Pig is, you're inviting, if you call a police officer a pig, it's pretty legal, or close to legal, for that police officer to, you know, make a statement. And
okay, what do you mean by statement? And I'm sorry for all these questions.
Well, I think you understand what I mean by statement.
No, you're telling me it's pretty legal for him to make a statement.
That is correct.
What does that mean?
Well, if you're a policeman and someone called you a pig, what would you do?
No, it's not what I would do. I want to know what you're calling legal.
If that lady called that police officer a pig or did something that more and more people are doing now, which is making these veiled references, a lot of people now are saying things like, oh, I smell bacon, or I'm going to the store to buy bacon. That right way. That right way is a red flag.
And so if someone says, I'm going to the store to buy bacon, the cop can slug you.
I'm saying that it's probably, yeah, probably legal. Because calling a police officer a pig is like saying, you know, the N-word to a black person. And I didn't want to say it. But
well, I can't really buy that, and I'll tell you why. Because the N-word is racial, P is an occupation. The police officers, while I don't like hearing our police officers called that word, it pisses me off when I hear it. It is a reference to an occupation, not a race.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that. All I'm saying is, Phil, it's insightful to a police officer to be called, you know, to have anybody sniff the air, say there's bacon or whatever. That's like a being called a pig, or a being called the M.
All right, we're talking here with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. What could that woman have said to that L.A. sheriff? He hit her with a right hand right across the chops. I mean, and with all due respect to the lady and the situation, and just talking like, you know, a stupid talk show host, that cop hit her with a right hand, and I mean a right cross, and she didn't go down necessarily. She was pulled down.
Yeah, I noticed that too, Phil. She took that shot pretty good. And that tells me she's probably taken a few shots to the face. And again, if you saw her face and they did have the face there, you know, that's the face of a woman that's taken a few, you know, she's taken a few shots in her day off her face. And I had said that to one of the sub-commanders, and they all laughed. And I said, no, it's not what you're thinking. I said, I'm talking about this. And
all right, we're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And Jay says that if you call a cop a pig, or if you even make a veiled reference like there's bacon cooking or I got to go get bacon, any of these things that could be considered insightful, then, quote, unquote, quote, it's probably legal for them to cold cock you like that. This lady on the train in Los Angeles, I have no idea what precipitated that. We'll get back to talking more about it. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we're back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. We got Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Where are you right now, Jay?
We're in a substation that we set up. Generally, it's a mobile substation. It's generally at a residence, one of our residences.
Now, if you look at the homepage here, folks, so those of you who are on Phil TV and HD, you see the Channel 5. This is the homepage of Channel 5, and this is the video story that I was mentioning. Video captures deputy striking woman on bus. Now, you're saying that this lady most likely said something to the officer?
I don't think there's any doubt. She probably said something like, you know, she might have just said something, you know, like, hey, you. And when you're talking to an officer, you want to say more respect, you know, say, officer, could I say something? Nothing will get me. I'm just speaking me personal now as a Citizens Auxiliary Police Officer. If someone's to say to me, hey, you, or, you know, what do you want? You know, that gets me. I start to sweat. You generally know I start to perspire. I feel I begin to size the person up. I, you know, some of my younger officers might even think about things that I've told them they can't do. You know, is there an alley or is there a secluded place where I can take this person, and is there a word against mine?
Well, now, wait a second. You just told me it's probably legal.
No, I can't make that statement. I'm telling you what is going to make an officer angry. Yeah, if you call him a pig and then he goes ahead and performs, it's self-defense. And
it's self-defense if he belts somebody after they call him pig.
Yes, sir, or any of these veiled threats like, I'd like you to give me your driver's license. I have to go to the store today and pick up bacon. That is one of the oldest in the book. And right away, you would be in your rights, too.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. And let me get Al on the phone. Al?
Yay!
Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, I just wanted to bring something up. I'm right here in Los Angeles. And it's a bad thing that actually what happened after the lady got the devil knocked out of her, then what happened, she was placed on a 72-hour psychiatric hold. They can do that legally, but what that does, that stops a personal injury attorney from swooping her up. They're like vultures in Los Angeles. And then if she's got any noticeable bruises and all of that, it's 72 hours for all that to clear up. And they did interview her when she got out of the psychiatric hole. It was a few news outlets to do that. So I just thought I'd...
Well, you have to put her on a 72-hour because you don't know if she's a danger to you or me or herself. And, if she's calling people, Porker, I don't know if she called a guy Porker, but she's running around there calling people names. You may think it's funny, but...
One thing about it, listen at me, Phil. It's so many L.A.
He's responding to a 911 call about a woman who had almost attacked she almost attacked an elderly person right
That's
there.
Correct.
Okay. So now you're going to have to get that 72-hour to keep an eye on her, make sure she's not running around trying to...
Well, I mean, what the man's saying, and Al, I understand what you're saying. Basically, she's taken into custody the 72 hours. So other things that she might be able to, for instance, the physical bruising that she might be able to show a judge was the result of this attack, this altercation with the police, or any other things that might be of value, she can't say to an attorney for 72 hours. And
that's
I suppose
correct.
What you're saying, yeah, and the, you know.
Well, what are you supposed to do? I tell you what I'll do is I'll let you out so you can talk to a lawyer and, rape a cat. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well,
what do
you mean, rape a cat?
Well, you don't know what she's going to do.
Well, then, all over Los Angeles, there is a multitude of psychiatric homeless people.
That's right.
All
yeah.
over the place, and they yeah. know who this lady is. And it's just maybe they just got tired of it and just knocked the devil out of her. But that was the protocol.
Could
to
be.
Lock her up for 72 hours, and a personal injury attorney can't swoop her up off the street. And then, eventually a lawyer will get a hold of her.
The other thing, too, is, these, I don't know if you ever seen this thing, the faces of meth. If she had one of the faces of meth, because what they do is they see that meth face, and police officers go, I'm going to have to. I look at a face like that. If I see a meth face, I think I want to knock that, whatever wrong with that guy's face, I want to knock it off of his face. It's an automatic thing.
Well, I saw this woman. She didn't have a. If she's a psychiatric patient, she's a psychiatric patient. I understand that. Here is Ron on the Phil Hendry Show. Ron, go ahead.
I don't have any idea about the laws in California, but I was a police officer in Texas for 5 years, and here in Texas, you have to have reasonable restraint. And a police officer that is trained in his job and what have you is trained to take any kind of physical abuse and throw somebody to the ground if they have to and cuff them. There is no reason for a police officer to ever strike a person because they call you a name.
Let me ask you a question, sir. This is Jay Santos. You say you're a police officer for 5 years, sir?
I was, yes, sir.
All right. If she, if you have a person that you detain, and that person starts waving the air, going, "Man, I'm smelling pork." I mean, you know, you want to just go ahead and do it.
Well, the hair on the back of your neck does bristle up, and that puts you on the
offense. That's right.
But it still gives you no reason to strike someone unless they physically try to strike you.
Well, see, I consider that to be a threat, Phil.
And why do you consider that a threat?
If someone says there's pork cooking, are you kidding? It's only a small step between...
It doesn't matter. If that person, even if it was a grown man linebacker size, says, "I'm going to knock your head off," you still can't hit him first.
Now, what would you do, sir, if, for instance, someone's... Don't you demand that they call you sir? I do. I want them to call me at least sir or something.
Well,
and stand,
yeah, that's pretty nice.
Stand up straight.
It hardly ever happens to a police officer, and you know it.
No, I mean... Demand that they call me sir.
Demand that they call you sir, or you strike them.
It's considered to be a
demand. You cannot demand anybody to say anything.
You can demand that they treat you with respect, that they stand up straight and treat you with respect.
You can ask them to do so, and you know as well as I do how many people you arrested.
How many people? I've detained young people, and elderly, and I said stand up straight. It's easier to push them around if they're older. I understand that. But
all right, look, I got to take a break. Thank you very, very much, Ron, for your expertise in that area. Jay, thank you. Hold on, 877-876. Phil, when is it all right for an officer to strike somebody? When they call you pig, when they're not respectful, when they're not standing up straight? Jay Santos seems to think so. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Why don't you stand up straight?
Phil Hendry.
Guy waves the air and spell pork.
We're going to commercial.
Oh.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
State are broken, a duly authorized organization springs into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers,
or the citizens' auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Jay Santos joining us from the citizens' auxiliary police this evening, and we are...
Hold on, here he is.
Well, we're talking about the Los Angeles County Sheriff that smacked this lady, and you correctly, I think, identified it, Jay. It wasn't an elbow. He gave her a right hand. I don't know what she was saying, but you have indicated that this woman was most likely saying something offensive.
That is correct, yes. And I understand what the last gentleman said, who is a Texas law enforcement officer for some 5 years, I believe he said. I do appreciate his expertise as well, Phil. I believe that when a individual, civilian, and I am a citizen's auxiliary police, I'm not part of the uniform state police or local municipality, we are an auxiliary unit that we have independently set up by way of how we want to do it, and I understand all that, but if someone is standing in front of me and fanning the air in front of them saying, it's a good day for pork or something like that. That right away is a threat, especially if it's someone who has one of faces of meth.
And you keep talking about the faces of meth. What?
Well, if you see someone with the faces of meth and they're waving their hand, talking about it being a good day for a pork, good day for a pork sandwich or however they say it, then I think you're duty bound to just go ahead and start beating on them. I mean, that's my feeling. And
But what is the thing with the faces of meth? You think that those people are dangerous?
I absolutely think they're dangerous. You look. Have you ever seen the face of someone who is on the meth? You know, is on the meth. They got faces that are the the faces have all kinds of sores. They look like there's a devil. They've been possessed by a demon of some kind. I'd just as soon beat their face in.
See, that to me doesn't sound professional.
No, it's very professional.
No, that doesn't. That to me sounds like a guy whose emotions are really getting away from him. Let's take a phone call here. We have Mike on the line. Hi, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Phil. Jay, sure. I was a military policeman for 6 years, and I'm not sure what type of training that this auxiliary force that you're some sort of commander of has. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, we're a citizens group. We're a citizens group. And to be honest with you, civilian police sometimes fail at their job. We have to come in, sweep in, and we got to sweep in behind them.
Okay. Well, my thought is that there's a military police officers, civilian police officers, they're both trained the same. I mean, number one, you're going to have thick skin to be in that type of job, and number two, there's certain levels of force that you're allowed. For the threat level that you've encountered, and to handle a situation, nobody deserves respect. I mean, the officer commands respect of his handling of the situation, his or her handling of the situation.
I think when you show the uniform of the police officer, right there, people should say, yes, sir. Stand up straight, I don't want to sound like you're in school, but I mean, standing there chewing gum with a slouch,
Sure.
Well, that does sound like you're in school.
Every police officer would like to have courtesy given to him or her.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
This is America. This is America, and that doesn't happen. And if you're in the job of or in the role of some sort of authority figure in America, and you don't get respect at the time that you're encountering a suspect or a person of interest or anything at that point, you've got to command the situation, but you're not going to be able to have a sir or madam, being addressed to you at all times.
Well, I understand, I just want to say this one thing.
Force.
Yes, sir. I just want to say one thing. I hear what you're saying, but when I stand there and I say, hey, you're talking to, chief, citizens or police, the least you can do is stop chewing your gum and standing there like you have curvature of the spine or whatever, and they laugh at me. Now, some of these people, and I want to just tell you this, Mike, because I meant to say this, some of them had the faces of meth that I was just talking to Mr. Henry about. If you see that face, that right away for me is a threat, because if I see the faces of meth, I don't know if that person's going to go ape, if they're going to turn into an ape and try to climb me. I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, you don't. If you see that, Mike, and you were a military police officer, right?
I was. So, meth.
Well, how many times are you going to see the faces of meth out and being a military cop? I don't know. Maybe you do.
Well, that's just it. I don't think you ever saw that.
No.
You see faces of meth. You want to kick that face in. You want to kick it in.
Well, I don't want to kick it in. I do. You want to ascertain the situation and deal with it accordingly. I don't think that. I think if a person raises a threat level on you, then you're authorized for hand to hand situation all the way to level 7 and bearing of a deadly weapon. But
I want to ask you, as a military police officer, did you ever encounter a face of the meth? You ever see that?
That's a good question.
No,
did you ever see an army guys? No? Okay.
I've never seen a...
Yeah.
All right. See, that's just it. If you see that out in civilian life, you don't know the faces of meth. And
what is this faces of meth? Are you talking about a guy or a girl or some individual that has obvious scarring from the use of methamphetamine?
Well, yes, but it's the face... You ever seen the faces of meth?
What are you talking... What is it, a movie?
I'm talking about the pictures they have.
Yeah, I've seen those, yeah.
Well, Mike doesn't want to do it, but I tell you right now, I feel the threat level is I don't know what you call it, elevated. I beat that face in until it was a face of good, of something good.
All right, Mike, thanks very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Did you hear that guy laughing?
Well, he can laugh all he wants. I question if that gentleman was laughing at me, a fellow... A law enforcement officer. I wasn't a military police, but I was a fellow law enforcement officer. And for him to laugh like that, I think shows he has a level of disrespect that I think is wrong. Now, when I talk about the face of meth, I'm talking about someone who could be a threat or maybe or could be, and the instinct is to beat the face of meth in until it's the face of purity. And
you know something? You don't even sound like a cop the way you talk.
What's that supposed to mean?
I want to beat in the face of meth until it's the face of purity. That's
Mr. Henry, every police officer.
Hey, sir, that's just Teddy Cammy in the corner.
What do you got?
Hey, 10-4 to 16,
we have a situation out here right now, Phil. If you want, we can do a ride-along. And
what do you...
We have a situation where we have someone who has lipped off to a subcontractor. Where is it?
Putin Bay.
All right. We have a situation right now, Phil. I think it might be interesting for you to be a part of it. Where someone has lipped off to a subcommander, and we're going to get into one of our we'll get into a vehicle now and head over to that area. And you never really know, Phil. And you can hear the sound of typewriters in the background, even though we're in a car. That's troubling.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try and figure that out. But I do have a couple of things I want to say. One, if you encounter anyone what has a face of meth, it's not anything that you want to deal with one-on-one, because the instinct is to beat it in. And we're heading over right now. Where'd they say to...
Where are you going?
We're on our way over to this Hawthorne and Toluca. Hold on. Pull up right here. Pull up right here. How are you doing this evening?
Uh-oh.
What's the immediate problem?
I'm just walking down the street.
But you're walking down the street, but this officer wanted to know what you're doing, and you were being disrespectful. What'd you say about pork?
I'm going to get a shredded pork sandwich.
You got pulled pork?
Huh?
All right, okay, so you said piled pork.
Yeah.
Hold him up. I didn't hit you, but I could.
What did you do that for?
You said piled pork in front of me. Phil is the gentleman who said something about a piled pork sandwich. I didn't hit him, but I swung at him, and you should have seen him go down, too. What are you scared of? I didn't hit you. You do meth?
What?
Do you do meth? You don't know? You don't know whether you do meth or not?
What do you mean? What are you guys, anyway?
Citizens Artillery Police. I'm Jay Santos.
Jay?
Yeah, Phil.
Did you say that kid said something about pork?
Yeah, he said he's going down here to Costco and want to get a pile of pork sandwich. Well, and so I feinted a right hand like I was going to hit him, and he immediately went down, and subcommander police in here had to pick him up. I didn't hit him.
So you're what is that, police torture or something?
What do you mean police torture? I just... Hey, hold on for a minute, Phil. What do you want? What do you think I'm doing?
I don't know. What do you guys want? What are those hats?
You got a problem with my hat? You got a problem with the hat I'm wearing? Yeah?
Yes. Hey, what is it?
It's a level 6, Phil. What we do is we pretend like we're going to hit him. We don't.
You know, that to me is some level of kind of police coercion that I don't like, and I think you should stop. And I think that the man's given you the answer. Is he not being respectful?
No, he's not being respectful. Was respectful you, Gleason?
I didn't think he was respectful to me, but I asked him to be.
What's that?
I didn't think he was.
Gleason said he didn't think he was being respectful. What do you do?
Well, this guy, I can't even understand what he's saying.
What?
I can't understand what he's saying. He's got something wrong with his lip.
All right, look, you're making fun of his lip, but you look like the underside of a cat that's been dragged for a mile. What are you? You're telling me you don't smoke meth?
A little bit.
Yeah, you liar.
All right, we got to take a break, Jay.
Huh?
We got to take a break.
Just getting good.
Hang on for a minute. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, who has, along with another subcommander, they've pulled over a man and are questioning him. He has not shown respect. He said something about a piled pork sandwich. And it sounds to me like they're engaging in some kind of a police coercive behavior. I don't like it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we're back. Are you still there?
It's Jay Santos waiting on Phil Hendry.
I'm right here, Jay.
Yeah, Phil.
All right, we're back on the air.
All right. We've let this young man go, and we are basically we're just filling out a report. He looked at me like he was, you know, I don't know what his problem was, but when Sub-Commander Gleason pulled him over, he was walking, and he did not give Sub-Commander Gleason no respect, was standing, shifting his weight, looking around, had his hands in his pocket, chewing gum, and just looked like a real slob. At that time, Sub-Commander Gleason says to the guy, you know, what's your problem or whatever, and this guy started giving some lip. So,
well, I don't know that any of that, as many other officers have said who've called the show, former or not.
Well, let's keep something clear, Phil. The people that I've talked to tonight on your show are all former law enforcement officers. All former law enforcement officers. That means that as former law enforcement officers, they probably don't know a lot of what it is that they're talking about now because laws have changed.
Yeah, all right. I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call here. I got Brian. Brian, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Do they get paid for what they're doing?
Is gentlemen ask me a question?
Yeah. Do you get paid?
We are Citizens Auxiliary Police. We are community oriented. Do we get paid? We get paid. In terms of what? In what sense do you mean?
Wages.
I earn a wage at my security job, but not as a citizen's officer, police officer, because this is not really about money. It's about saving lives, as far as we're concerned. It's all about saving lives.
It seems to me you're using abusive power. First of all, it's guys like you that are giving us in the security field bad names.
I don't understand. How am I giving you a bad name if I'm stopping some meth base?
Because what you're doing is an abuse of authority.
In what sense, sir? Here's a guy that was walking down the street giving me lip. Hello?
That gave you the right to swing on him?
Well, I did not hit him.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You're putting fear, you know, you're putting fear in these people. Why?
The man was stopped because he looked like he might have a problem. He had a face on him that looked like he does meth. And so anyway, we stopped him and asked him some questions. He was smart-mouthed about it, telling everybody we looked like a bunch of fairies. If you want me to say it, I'll use the language.
What did he say to you?
He goes, "Where'd you guys look like a bunch of fairies in your fairy uniform, you bunch of, you know, faggots. And what do you want, faggot?" And that's when we stood him up and you know, pretended like I was going to hit him.
So you got angry at the guy for calling you names?
He was not showing respect. And that's why I'll say this gentleman here, Brian. Got to have him show respect to you. Otherwise, you look like a... You know, just a turd.
The way I see it, you think that uniform brings you respect, but that uniform don't bring you any respect. It's the person in the uniform that gets the respect. And you're certainly not going to get it trying to beat it out of them.
I didn't beat on him, sir. I...
Well, you pretended to. It was like almost like torture.
Are you kidding me? Torture? Oh, my God. So you think, what do I do, like waterboard him or something?
No, you didn't waterboard the guy, but when you swing on a guy and he thinks he's going to get hit, it puts fear into him.
Well, what respect do I get? What respect do I get when the guy goes, you know, I'm going to get a pile of pork sandwich? Forget
you
it.
Say you're a security officer? You should have been trained that we're supposed to have thick skins. I'm a security officer, too.
So you want a guy to say to you, hey, how's the piled pork sandwich in this neck of the woods?
I go through,
you know what that means.
I'm working that on a daily basis. I'm working on
You've heard work. Yes, sir.
This gentleman is saying that there's a lot worse that you're going to deal with. And
you know, Mr. Henry, you're not a cop. I don't even know. You're all,
hey, this gentleman's saying.
You don't know anything about it.
Okay, but I'm the host of the show. Do you mind?
Let me ask this gentleman, have you seen the face of meth? And Mr. Henry doesn't like me using that term, but have you seen a meth? Seen a face of meth?
I've seen them all. If you're talking about high on methamphetamines, I've seen them high on angel dust.
What are they doing in a mall? Are they shopping for shoes? What is that?
Just that. They're in the mall.
They're in the mall, yeah. They're in the mall, high on angel dust.
That doesn't add up.
There's not many places for them to go here in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, you're in Richmond, Virginia. All right. I didn't know what part of the... Richmond, that's a very lovely area. That's Southern Virginia. I know there's a lot of lovely areas there.
Okay, that's fine, but it's Richmond, Virginia. There's a lot of... it's a tough urban environment in some areas. Listen, Brian, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Oh, shoot. I don't know who we have on the line here. Let me see. Who is the call? Oh, Danny. Hold the line here. Thanks very much. Let me go over to Danny. Hi, Danny. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
How you doing, Phil?
Yes, sir.
I'm from the Massachusetts area, and the auxiliary police around here, they don't have that type of authority to stop. They're pretty much around here just handling traffic. He talks about meth people. We have meth people on meth around here. Police officers stop them, check them out. If they don't disrespect them, they don't throw punches, they don't slap people. You know, they try to, you know, assess the situation. This guy, I don't know, he thinks maybe that uniform gives him the light.
No, sir, I don't think. Danny, here's my thing. Here in California, we got a meth lab out here in the desert, you know. We got them all over the place. I got to go out there and shut down a meth lab. I got to slap a man around. I don't want to. I don't mean to. I didn't think I was going to.
All right, listen, Danny, I'm sorry we didn't have more time for your call. I appreciate it very much. And, Jay, thank you. And
is that it? Because, you know, I was going to show you. This is wrong, Phil. It's very wrong because you're giving people the impression that I'm a dumbass. And
well, you are a dumbass.
All right. I didn't even get to play my theme music.
We played it at the beginning.
No, I demand that you... My contract says at
Phil
the end of the bit.
Henry. Oh, boy. El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
I understand it. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. My understanding is I didn't know that we had this in the contract. Let me get David G. Hall on here, and Jay Santos is on here, so I'm making sure that we're not making a mistake, David. So this is contractual, right?
It is contractual. When you have Jay Santos on the show, you've got to play the Citizens Auxiliary Police theme.
And
I know you did it at the beginning, but you got to do it at the end. Mr. Santos? That's correct, and Mr. Henry was more concerned with talking about how I'm kicking in the face. Well, you were talking about faces of meth, and Mr. Henry was interested in that. And so we're going to play the theme for you. Will that make you happy? Yeah, it'll make me happy, but I don't want anybody thinking I'm out there, you know, roughing up a meth case.
Okay.
We won't mention anything, Phil. Just play the theme music.
All right. Well, I won't say anything.
Yes, you're not going to make no statement.
No, I'm not. I'm going to play your theme music as you wanted to. I'm sorry that we didn't play it. Here is the Citizens Auxiliary Police theme music.
That's too loud. Yeah, that's better. Jesus. I'm going, Phil.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't kick no face in.
Okay, fine.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers,
or the citizens' auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Citizens Auxiliary Police, and I'm not saying I want to face the meth, but if I see it, I want to beat it in.
Thank you, Jay. Thanks.
Hold on. You got another one? Yeah. Bill, I got to take a call here. I'm probably going to...
Thank you.
You may call back.
I don't put him on the air again. I'm done with him. He may call back. I've never heard of a auxiliary police department or any police department having its own theme music when they come on the air to talk about the work they do. Anyway, welcome to our program on Phil TV and HD. We've been showing the faces of meth.
Dennett, you see that's from Multnomah County in Oregon, huh?
These are actual pictures. It's on the Channel 5 website, KTLA Channel 5 Los Angeles. And it's quite a stark and startling view of the faces of individuals who get involved with methamphetamines. But please don't be misled. I'm not saying that we don't have meth cases in California, but these are actually pictures that Channel 5 has from the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office in Portland, Oregon. And
dude, they got a lot of meth heads up there, man. Like a lot of them rock heads, a lot of meth heads. But I wonder why that is.
Because white people are down on that, man. You know, more white people or more meth head?
What are you talking about?
I'm just talking about that.
Yeah, okay, blacks do rock cocaine and...
All right, let's not turn it into that, okay? The more white people, the more meth.
There is.
Well, in any event, these are pictures. And here's a guy that's just showing a picture of a guy who looks pretty good looking, okay? 6 months later, he looks like, oh, man.
Looks like he's been laying in a coffin.
He does. He looks like he's got no sun. He's a mess. All right, so you can look at that at your leisure, at your leisure, at your leisure. World famous Phil Hendry Show, and this is our News and Information Hour. We're very happy to be on the line here with you. We had a fun night last night on our video cast. We did a Q&A, and we'll probably do more of those as the days and the months progress. If you would like a chance at a free BSP, a backstage pass, if you'd like a chance at a free month subscription to our website so you can watch our video casts, listen to our podcasts, listen to our archived material that goes back for many, many years, thousands of hours, and all the other things we offer at the Phil Hendry Show website, what you do is this. You can go to our Twitter account at twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. That's our show account. And hashtag the name Phil Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. Or you can like our fan page at Facebook, and that is facebook.com/Phil Hendry Fans, P-H-A-N-S, and like it. And then you get into the running for a free month subscription in the month of February, which, by the way, is Phil History Month.
Take away from Black History Month.
It's not going to take away from Black History Month. In fact, we're going to meld it very beautifully with Black History Month. It just happens to be Phil History Month, okay? So, anyway, this will be a free BSP for you next month on the Phil Hendry Show website. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. It's our News and Information Hour. Generally, we don't take any phone calls, but, hey, thought I'd give you the phone number. So that was a pretty sick thing.
What was?
Well, just that whole thing with Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police. There's a lady that got clocked by a L.A. County Sheriff on a train today. It was pretty ugly. There's no question about it. It was pretty ugly. A lot of other things that are happening around town. One of the things I think is sort of interesting here is this story of the Casey Anthony saga is heating up again. And it's, as we did the other night, we played a video journal that apparently she's keeping. So we want to talk to you about that, and we want to talk to you about the fact that Jose Baez has quit. The other story that is really fascinating to me is this Marines to investigate lewd video. Now, as I was just talking to Dan Northcraft, who is our technical director and an Army veteran, and he made the point, and it's a very true point, that it's impossible for the average civilian to even begin to comprehend what is the environment out there in the middle of a battle, or at least in the middle of some kind of a military operation against an enemy. It's impossible for people on this side of the ball to imagine what the frame of mind has to be to do that job, and then also how to sort of release the tension. Now, these Marines were allegedly urinating on the bodies of three Taliban militants, One of the Marines was joking, have a nice day, buddy. Another makes a lewd joke about a shower. And they were urinating on these three bodies. Someone was theorizing on one of the shows I was watching that these were Marine snipers and that these might have been Taliban insurgents that they had just killed by way of their sniper rifles. All right. Now, here's the problem with all of this. There was a time, and it wasn't too long ago, when there was all kind of atrocity committed by soldiers in battle against civilians. And these are not atrocities that were being committed by American soldiers. They're being committed by the armies of the world beyond the shores of America. We came to find out that Americans were involved in some of these things, especially in Vietnam with the My Lai massacre. Steps were taken, changes were made, and we move on. Abu Ghraib is about the worst thing we got now, which is sticking underwear on a guy's head and making a dog bark at him. Now, we have turned that into Auschwitz. We've turned that into the worst war crime that could ever be committed. And now we have these three Marines who are not even making fun of guys that are alive. And these aren't just so-called innocent men. These are three Taliban soldiers that they were engaged in battle with. And guess who won? We win, you lose. And, and all the other things that are going on inside of and outside of the heads of any combatant, it's going on over there. And a picture is taken and it's transported back here to the United States. And we are all looking at it in the comfort of our home, around our breakfast table, while we're brushing our teeth, while we're picking our toes, whatever we're doing. And we think we understand that situation. And we don't. Now, I don't doubt that there may be a soldier or two listening to me right now who's been in that situation, who would call me up and he would say, I've been in that situation, and I would never. And I've been in that situation. I don't know. I'd be happy to take your word for it. But what I will say is this. Soldiers, whether they agree with that or they don't, and soldiers that have been in that situation, that type of environment, where it's a, kill or be killed situation, only they, and I think it's fair to say, and their superiors and their comrades and the society that they live in, only they understand. And I think it's pretty sad when the civilian press gets a hold of stuff like this, because nothing comes out, especially if it's not a My Lai, where there's a dead civilian and an American standing there with a gun, which was an absolute, utter, horrific disgrace. Or what it is the German and Japanese military had to live down, that they may never live down from World War II. But when you're talking about something from the field of battle, it's...
They're already dead.
Yo. I mean, I don't even know what you call that. It's like tension release or something. And you got people who are, they're itching for something to get pissed off about. There hasn't been any really good anti-military stuff they can talk about. They're looking to really throw some dirt clods and sling some crap. And you throw this stuff into their lap, say goodbye to the truth. Just say goodbye to truth. Say goodbye to anything even remote. It's all going to be politicized, as it already is starting to be, and you will never, ever, ever get any closer to understanding the environment of the environment a soldier lives in when in that environment, the environment, the mindset, and so forth. So,
what do you think happened?
What do I think happened?
I know what happened, man. They shot that guy and peed on him.
That's what I think happened. I think they got done. I think it was very, very tense, and I think it was probably days and days on end. If they're snipers, that's what they were doing, sitting there for days and days on end, tracking people, probably being shot at themselves by Taliban snipers, because that's the game. They have theirs, and they do. They move position. They shoot. They move their position. They shoot. The other guys do the same thing. They're zeroing in on these guys. It goes on for days, if not weeks, and the next thing you know, it looks to me like these Marines won this game of chess, and it's a kill or be killed tense situation. They've, as I said, they're living out there by their wits. They're living on whatever it is a sniper carries with him. It's not a particularly, you know, luxurious life. You're living out there in the weeds with the animals and the rats and the whoever, and you're in very sparse communication with your other soldiers of on your side, and you're picking up and moving again, and you're picking up and moving again, and you're taking a shot. And so this is the game, and it goes on and on and on until finally someone wins and someone loses. And they were able to target these three and kill them. And this is, after all of that, their response, their reaction to that. And I don't, what I've just said to you, I don't even know the one-tenth of it. But you think any of that stuff's going to get explained when people start picking? Of course not. They don't want to. The first thing they want to do is they want to, first of all, this is a great opportunity for people to go, forget about how bad things are now. Look what Bush did. You know, that's number one. Number two is anybody that hates the Marines or the military in general, look at these animals. Number three is, oh, our poor dehumanized soldiers. That's the other one. I read this thing. I'm reading a book called The Sociopath Next Door by this doctor whose name escapes me. And the reason why it escapes me is because I was really irritated by a conclusion she was drawing in her book, which is, oh, poor soldiers, they're so dehumanized and they don't know what's going on. And they're so, it's almost like they're so stupid that they just put a gun in their hands and they turn into robots and the poor people. And that's a great way of becoming, you know, quote unquote, sympathetic to the military. Oh, no, we're on your side. And at the same time saying they're a bunch of meatheads and they don't know what they're doing because they're easily manipulated and brainwashed and so on and so forth. And nothing could be further from the truth. And the statistics that she cited were so warped.
Well, what do you mean? Yeah, what kind?
Well, she's saying that look at the statistics of soldiers since the Revolutionary War and how they can be talked into killing. And really, they don't like killing. And I'm thinking, now, wait a second. All of those wars, except for the Gulf War forward, where there was conscription, meaning you were drafting guys into the military, meaning you had citizen soldiers that probably didn't even want to be there. And she's lumping all these statistics together to prove soldiers really don't want to kill. They have to be brainwashed into doing it. And of course, I'm thinking, what about the soldiers that do want to defend the country and feel so strongly about that, that yes, they will take a life? Have you thought about that? No, she didn't. But nonetheless, I'm not reading the book because of that. I'm reading it because of somebody that I know who I think is a psychopath.
Hey.
Thank you. All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show in our News and Information Hour. And, of course, philhendryshow.com. Get your backstage powers, chance at a free backstage pass, or go and get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. Be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
My life.
I'm telling you, man, those faces of meth, they'll freak your ass out.
But what happened to that one lady?
I can't even describe this, and we'd have to ask the listener. Just go to you can go to any website. Just look up faces of meth, and they'll, I don't know what's up. What's going on up there in Portland? You guys are supplying the faces. You have the biggest supply of the faces of meth than any police agency in America.
Yeah. Go get Jay Santos, man, and find a face of meth.
Yeah, no, he's not talking about that. He's just saying a face of meth.
No, I know, you know.
Yeah, but does he see that?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. But I think it's amusing to me that, and I shouldn't say it's amusing, it's very tragic. It's, in fact, when you look at these people, you want to take them and you want to lock them up someplace and scrub them down. But here's the problem. In all drug addictions, the same thing. We've talked about this before. Drug addiction is people who are trying to medicate the brain, man. Their freaking brains are not working right. They need medicine. And we know this because the pharmacology that the pharmacological solutions that have come about, these drugs that can manipulate the neurotransmitters and so on and so forth, they are here. They are now. It is happening. We are able now to treat all kinds of mental illness, depression, bipolar, you name it. And why? Because we have now we're beginning to understand EEGs, brain waves, and, you know, areas of the brain and how to treat. So when you take drug addiction, you're talking about people who have such a serious biochemical problem in the brain, they're trying to treat that. That's what that's about. That's what that's about. Why else would someone use drugs knowing that what they've been through in the past? Because it gives them some relief, you know.
My grandmother said it's on account of a demon.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, man. Nobody believed that.
My grandmother do.
Your grand, is she still alive?
No.
Your grandmother do, huh?
Well, she did.
And she thought it was because of the devil. Yeah, of course she did, because she was one of those. That's the generation.
Yeah, she told me if I mess around with that a demon would get me.
Yeah, it probably would. I think the demon already got you, man. You don't even have to.
Shut up.
Wait a minute, man. Your grandmother's right, basically. But you don't mess with that stuff, right?
No.
Yeah, you're huffing paint.
You were huffing that paint for a while, right?
Yeah, but that I don't do it anymore.
Uh-huh.
I come in the other day, he had like a glistening, it was glistening.
Yeah, you were glistening.
Hey, watch it. What do you mean it was glistening?
Yeah, he had like silver.
No, I didn't have no silver, man. It was the stuff my niece was doing for the New Year's Eve party, you idiot.
Well, what was that silver on your face?
Kids, it was stuff my niece was doing.
What was it? Like those sprinkles or something?
Yeah, it's those sparkles that little girls wear.
No, man, I thought he was huffing silver paint.
No, I wasn't, you idiot.
Huffing paint, he's wearing those sparkles. Nah, this stuff is the worst. So these are the folks, these meth heads, man. You got to get these people and find a way to treat this, because they'll go back on it. They'll go and they will return to abusing this garbage if there's nothing to replace it. It has nothing to do with character. It has nothing to do with willpower. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with a chemical problem in the brain, just like schizophrenia, just like so many other things. So if we can get off these ridiculous notions we have, we might be able to help people. Another story here, as I mentioned, this is the... Where the hell is this, man? We were talking about the Marines and, the situation there in... what was the other story I was talking about?
I forget, man, but what about Khloe Kardashian?
No, I know. It's Casey Anthony. Get out of here with Khloe Kardashian. I'll get the Khloe Kardashian. Khloe Kardashian, I don't know, somebody tweeted that she's not really a Kardashian, that she's actually a,
probably like a, maybe Turkish.
Yeah, she's not really Armenian, she's Turkish. No, they didn't say that, but there's some dispute. All right, we'll be back here with the Casey Anthony story, man, how Baez has quit, and she's all in a heap, Jack. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
People have wanted to know about it.
I understand we had that. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go anywhere, all the places, every place, all over it, man. Places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, to cover the thing for you. Now, reminder to visit the website and go to our shop. Go to the Phil Henry Shop, because we have our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. And we're going to have new Bobby Dooley product in there, which will be great for, I hope we get it in for Valentine's Day. I don't know if we will or not, but we will nonetheless have our Bobby Dooley product in there. You can also get the Phil Henry Show shot glass, as well as our mug, as well as our T-shirt, our ball cap. And we've got some new ball caps coming in. You know, it's just like cool stuff. Plus downloads of all of our best of CDs available there at philhenryshow.com. And if you want to own the actual CD itself with the case, it's unwrapped, it's pristine, it's beautiful, you can get it there too at philhenryshow.com. So check it out. What were you talking about, Bud?
Well, just, I forget now, because you were going to say, I forget now.
Well, was it? I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I'm totally spaced out. I think it was something having to do with one of the other news stories, the Casey Anthony, is it, or something like that?
Yeah.
All right. We do have a couple of things that we're going to get to. One is that Casey Anthony was in court, and I think she was there to testify, in part at least, in this lawsuit that's been filed against her. It's basically a defamation lawsuit, and I can't, you know, is there anything that is being done opposing Casey Anthony that you're going to disagree with, you know? Is there any sympathy for this woman anywhere? Even her attorney now has recused himself. That's the story. Casey Anthony's on her own because the attorney who got her off of the murder charges, well, it's not really recused, it's not the term, has decided to remove himself from Anthony's legal team. Anthony first hooked up with Jose Baez while she was in jail, and she heard other inmates raving about his work. It's unclear why Baez tendered his resignation, though it is rumored the two were having a falling out after Anthony's private video diaries surfaced. These are these video diaries, one of which we played for you, and Jose Baez has finally said, take it and shove it deep and shove it wide. I don't want nothing to do with you no more.
He talks like that?
No, he doesn't talk like that. That's just what I figured. That was happening today in Orlandi and other places like that in the midst of more of this Casey Anthony news. She says that she became pregnant after passing out at a party. Now this is how she got pregnant. Now, understand, a psychopath can lie. Oh, baby, can they lie? And you'll notice how many of these lies this woman has told, and she's got everyone going, wow, I wonder if that's true. She doesn't know how she got pregnant any more than the guy that made her pregnant remembers who it was that he made pregnant. Casey Anthony, the Florida mother, acquitted last year in the death of her toddler daughter, told a psychologist she may have become pregnant with Kaylee after she blacked out at a party. So in other words, she was raped. That's what she's alleging here. The deposition showed Anthony made the remarks to William Weitz, a psychologist. This was the deposition, by the way, that was released on Wednesday. She made the remarks to William Weitz, a psychologist who interviewed her and administered mental health tests to determine her mental status at the behest of the defense while she was in jail awaiting trial. At the party, she felt that she may have been, that she blacked out. Weitz testified, according to the deposition, she believes that she was impregnated during that time. Weitz, who ultimately concluded that Anthony suffered from no mental illness or defect, said she claimed to have no memory of the sexual act and that she said she believed her drink may have been spiked. Anthony, age 25, was acquitted in July in the death of 2-year-old Kaylee, but was found guilty of repeatedly lying to detectives trying to find out what happened to the toddler, who was last seen alive in June of 2008. A nationwide search, as you know, ended 6 months later when her remains were found in woods nearby. Understand something. When somebody says that someone's not mentally ill, being a psychopath, one of the, and I'm just, you don't have to believe me. If you do your own research, you're going to find out that this is true. Go ahead and just look this aspect up. You may say, oh, the talk show host, there he goes again. He doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. Okay, fine. But what I'm about to tell you, go look this up right now, and you can check this part out. Psychopaths love psychiatrists and psychologists. They play them like a Stradivarius fiddle. That is a fact, Jack. Psychopaths say it. Psychologists who are not completely self-deluded admit it. Psychiatrists or anybody else in the mental health field that understands this personality, they're completely familiar with it. Oh, yeah, are you kidding me? I mean, the last thing in the world is going to help a psychopath who is just not at all interested in helping themselves is taking them to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. They're going to lie to these people so beautifully, you'd swear that, you'd swear they're telling the truth, no matter what they said. Casey Anthony could say that a Martian impregnated her, and with the right people, and believe me, there are the right people out there, with the right people, they believe her. She could start a cult. Let's just take this, for instance. Take Casey Anthony, and let's say she never committed a crime. She didn't murder her daughter. Let's say instead what she was going to do to get away from her mother and her father and that lousy life that she had in Orlando, or whatever the hell her problem was, she was going to start a cult. And she was going to tell her followers that she had been delivered here from outer space by Martians who anointed her to be their emissary from Mars. Now, you're saying, well, that's all crazy. Well, so is half of the crap this woman has said that has an entire nation spinning on its ass. Some people believe in it, some people not. Let's say that we didn't know she was a murderess. Let's just say that we found out that she, you know, came from outer space. Out there somewhere in the world are people that would believe it, that would give her money based upon it, that would help her set up a outer space church, that would anoint her child, if Kaylee was still alive, the outer space child, that would give her gold robes, that would paint her hair blue. You know, in other words, and a woman like that, she's young, she's attractive, she manipulates men, she manipulates, you know, she could manipulate other people. She manipulated her parents like you wouldn't believe. Her friends seem to be a little bit smarter. They just, you know, like didn't buy into a lot of this horse dung. Anyway, make a long story short, she would have her little cult. She would have her little Jim Jones Society because she's a psychopath and a sadistic one. That means she murders. Nobody would be safe in that group. Sooner or later, she'd concoct some reason to kill somebody and someone would do her bidding. We already know she killed the little girl. She would find ways of killing others that were standing in her way. And so that's how you get to Jim Jones. You know, that's how you go from just Casey Anthony, stupid chick, to Jim Jones, psycho, weird, pill-popping, Guyana man. You know, I'm sweating.
Yeah, he's all like, time to get gone, children.
Yeah, I saw that movie the other night. It's time to get gone.
Yeah, I'll be. It was time to get gone, all right. But that's what I mean, see? You know, about these psychopaths. They lie, and you take them to a psychiatrist. So when this gentleman, this Dr. Weitz, who I'm sure is very good, I wouldn't doubt in a minute, when he says she's not mentally ill, didn't this guy come back on the stand and say, well, you know, I took another look at it because, and I think he did, because someone else, some other doctor had indicated something to me. So I took a look, and I thought, yeah, she could be a narcissist. Now, a narcissist is a psychopath. Only narcissists have consciences. They have a conscience. So they're self-important. They're cruel. They walk over top of people. Everything's about them. Everything's about... But they can feel bad, and they can feel remorse over the things they've done. That's a narcissist. Now, you take a step beyond that to a psychopath, and they don't give a damn. Look at Casey Anthony. Her daughter was murdered by her. And there she is.
I don't know. And another thing that I want to do is I think I'd like to rub myself down with lard. And, you know.
Did you say that?
No, she didn't say that, but I'm just, you know.
There was something in there, though, that she wanted to own. Yeah, I know what it was. For the first time in her life, she owns something. She's got something that's real. It's now.
What are you talking about?
It's what you said.
Oh, all she was talking about. She's full of crap. What are you buying that? You know.
Well, she said it's the first time she ever owned something.
No, she didn't, man. She said it was the first time in a number of months that she feels like it's hers.
Yeah, I heard that.
But, I mean, you know, through all of that stuff, there's the one person you didn't mention was her kid, which everybody was talking about. All right. While she was awaiting trial, Anthony's defense team had her evaluated by two mental health experts. Their reports and sworn statements, which were never submitted as evidence, were sealed by the judge until the conclusion of the trial. Several hundred pages of depositions released on Wednesday showed that mental evaluations of Anthony found her to be surprisingly cheerful and content. Psychiatrist Jeffrey Danziger testified in a deposition that Anthony's demeanor didn't fit the circumstances of a mother who had lost her daughter, was suspected and then accused of her murder and incarcerated in jail. Danziger said Anthony was eating and sleeping well and reading books. That's a textbook psychopath, man. Wait, don't you remember from the movie Anthony Hopkins from, you know, Silence of the Lambs? He ate her tongue and his pulse never went above whatever it was, 50?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what they're saying there, and that was a fictional work, but the author researched psychopaths and found out that because there isn't a conscience, they can't emotionally get too crazy hearing about just abstract, you know, acts of violence. And when they're not thinking about it at all, they're absolutely just cool. Her attitude was as if we were discussing someone who had a parking ticket, Donziger said. He also testified that he had never seen anyone facing murder charges or the loss of a child who showed such a lack of emotion. Oh, gee! What do they tell you, Dr. Weitz, when you go to the psychiatry school and you meet someone like that? Do they have a name for it? But like Weitz, Danziger concluded that Anthony suffered from no mental disease or defect. Weitz testified that Anthony exhibited less stress on a mental health test than a normal person who had not experienced a trauma. Oh my God, she had less stress on the test than a normal person who had not been through any trauma. Both experts said Anthony had told each of them that her father, George, and brother had sexually molested her in the past, and that her father possibly drowned Kaylee in the backyard pool and disposed of her remains. The judge ruled at that trial no evidence of abuse was ever presented. George Anthony's lawyer, in a statement issued on Wednesday, said his client was aware of the statements and that no new information was disclosed on Wednesday. Now, you got two psychiatrists that say she's not mentally ill. I understand that the definition of insane by law is that they don't know the difference between right and wrong. And a psychopath does know the difference between right and wrong. So, technically speaking, by law, she's not mentally ill. She's not crazy. And it's also arguable that being a psychopath is not a, quote, mental illness. It's arguable that being a psychopath is simply an abnormal personality type. See, if somebody's ill, doesn't that assume they can be cured?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, if you say she's ill, there's got to be some way to treat it. And while I know they've had some success with, like, teenage psychopaths, I don't know about people this age. And so, really, what she is just an abnormal personality. And an abnormal personality is someone that's going to act in an abnormal way, that which we call abnormal, murdering somebody and not feeling any remorse, even though they know it's against the law and they can get into trouble for it. And she accuses her father of molesting her and her brother. And now we find out it wasn't that Kaylee died accidentally, it's that her father drowned a kid. So this woman may never kill again. She may never kill again. She may have learned the lesson, and the only lesson they learn is that, oh, wow, that was a lot of hassle. I don't ever want to go through that hassle again. I better not kill anybody. Not because she's remorseful, but because she doesn't want to go through that hassle. She may never kill anybody again, but damn sure she will lie, cheat, steal, manipulate, and cause untold unhappiness to everybody that meets her. That's going to happen more and more and more and more. All right, I got to go to a commercial break because Red Eye has Bill Schultz on. And as you know...
He's a pain in the ass.
He's like fingers on a freaking chalkboard. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show here for our final closing groovy ass segment.
Truth is our bitch. Yeah. The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, yeah.
Famous Bill Hendry Show.
Welcome back, guys. Let's see, what's tomorrow? It's Thursday. It's all good, right?
Yeah, I'm going to take the trash out today.
You took the trash out on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, I've got to remind him, though. You don't have to remind me last night. I took it out because it smelled bad.
Yeah, why'd it got to smell bad? Take it out sooner.
What is it got to smell bad for?
Well, that's when I know to take it out.
Take it out when the freaking can is full, man. Don't take it out when it starts to stink. What's the point of that?
Get that, be taking it out all the time.
What do you mean, taking it out all the time?
It's all the fish he eats.
I like to eat fish.
Look at man, what are you doing throwing fish in the garbage for?
Isn't that what you're supposed to sell it? Supposed to put it?
What do you mean sell it?
I mean put it.
No, man, if you put it in the garbage disposal. And if it's got bones in it, throw it in a plastic bag or something, man. But, you know, and then get it outside. Don't have it in the kitchen. You understand?
I told him.
No, you didn't tell me nothing, man. Well, I put it by in the garbage disposal, but it had bones in it.
Yeah, that's what he just said.
Shut up, man.
Hold on. Yeah. What are you eating?
Like trout.
Well, if it's got bones in it, you don't want to put it down a garbage disposal, and you're not eating all of it, stick it in a plastic bag or something. You put it in a can. Get it outside. Take it out to the garbage outside. And then the garbage guy comes. Man, you don't put that stuff in the can and leave it in the kitchen so it stinks. God.
Yeah, sometimes it stinks. You know, I don't even know why.
Man, I'm glad I ain't living at your house. Why is it stinking and you don't know why?
Because you don't turn on the garbage disposal.
Turn the garbage disposal on, man. God. Take a lemon. You got any lemons?
Uh-uh.
Buy a lemon, get one off a tree, and cut it up and throw it in the garbage disposal. That cleans it up.
Really? Makes it smell lemony?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll make it smell lemony, man. All right, thanks to the late Robert Kardashian's widow and an ex-wife, the paternity of Khloe Kardashian was a hot topic on Wednesday. Now, Khloe is who, man?
She's the one who married Lamar Odom.
She married Lamar Odom, and she's in Dallas. Okay. Well, there was a claim made by the late Robert Kardashian's widow and an ex-wife. The late Robert Kardashian's widow. Let's see. According to Jan Ashley, who married Kardashian after his divorce from Kris Jenner, and Ellen Kardashian, who married the star attorney 2 months before his death. Okay, so these are the two wives that were not Kris Jenner. Khloe is not his biological daughter. I don't know if this is important news, but in any event, despite the two women's claims of the new star, stories reportedly purchased for a hefty sum, the other famous Kardashians are totally denying the report. Hours after the story leaked Wednesday on Radar Online, Kim Kardashian blasted it over lunch with a group of Hollywood pals. Khloe herself was deeply upset and immediately took to Twitter, clearly addressing Ashley and Ellen Kardashian. She tweeted, "The audacity you have to mention my father's name like this, you should be ashamed of yourself, URSELF.
That's not how you spell it.
No, that ain't how you spell it.
You don't even know how you spell your?
Yeah, I know how to spell UR. It's D-U-M-B.
Well, you come on, cut it out. So anyway, I let a lot of things slide, but this one is really low. You are disgusting. Now, it's not yet clear. See, you know what that tells me?
What?
She's got a beef with these people already. This is part and parcel of something that's going on between her and who did she address directly? Ashley and Ellen Kardashian. This is something that's going on between her and Ellen and Ashley Kardashian. And I think I know what it is. I think...
But you're just guessing.
No, I'm guessing, but... You don't talk to someone like that who has been nice to you or you've been nice to, and all of a sudden they're out of the blue saying that you are not the daughter of Robert Kardashian. You're going to be, first you're going to react with, I don't understand. I mean, are you kidding me? But this, she came out of the gate already sort of not surprised by it, at least not surprised at what a bunch of douchebags they are. So I think it's because of that TV show and her and the sisters and whatever the hell, you know, Khloe's got to do with it. I don't know. Courtney and, you know, I think the ex-wives, they want in on it. They want some money and they want a nice big fat paycheck or it won't end. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's extortion. Nah, I don't know. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by myself and Dan Northcraft. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. Don't forget to visit us at philhendryshow.com for all of our marvelous stuff there in the shop. And, of course, our backstage pass. You're going to want to get a backstage pass, or you can sign up for a chance at one for free at Twitter or at our fan page, Phil Hendry Fans, over at Facebook. And until such time as we talk again, we'll talk again. Good night. Woo!